Today is Tu B'Shvat, and in davening this morning we left out Tachanun. In Yiddish folklore, they have the description, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, so Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, and the Baal Tefillah wears a kittel, and he wears a white talis. And in Europe, the trees used to be covered, on Tu B'Shvat, the trees were covered with snow, and the winds were howling. So one of the Jewish writers in Europe wrote a whole description of Tu B'Shvat as if one of the trees is the Shliach Tzibur, and he's covered with snow that represents the white kittel and the white talis, and the wind is howling that represents the Tkiyah Shofar, and represents the davening of the Shliach Tzibur. And the whole thing is a joke. What has it got to do with Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Well, we observe it. There's no real good reason why we don't say Tachnun today. Today is not a Yontif. Rosh Hashanah Ilanas is not a Yontif. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Arba Rosh Hashanah Mehem, therefore. What we call Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishnah calls Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's called Yontif. The other three are not a Yontif. What is Rosh Hashanah Ilanis all about? So the Gemara explains that there's a din of Orla and Revai, that if you plant the tree, so if fruits grow, a lot of times fruits, nothing will grow in the first couple of years. If fruits do grow, a tree or a bush where berries grow, as a makhluk is Bisham and Bisil, and we pass like Bisilo, that a bush is also Dinaki tree. And on berries, you also say Bari Pihu Eitz, you don't say Bari Pihu Adama. It's a Bari Pihu Adama, Bari Pihu Eitz, that's an issue de Rabbanan. But whether it has a din of Orla or not, that's a din de Araisa. So the din is like Bisilil against Beishamai, that a bush is Dinaki tree, and it is subject to the dinam of Orla. So the din is that if pears grow on the tree, the first 3 years, they have a din of Orla. So how do you calculate the first 3 years? So Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonus means if it's already a couple of years old, then it's called an Elon. When you first plant it, it's called an Itiyah. When it's already 3 years old, then it's called an Elon. So if you planted the tree, let's say in Tammuz, and it comes, I plant the tree Mechodesh in Tammuz, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the first year. And then when it comes next Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the second year. Then it comes the next Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the third year, even though it's only 2 years and a couple of months. Tammuz of Elul. I planted the tree in Tammuz. There were only 3 months before Rosh Hashanah. So then there are 12 months between Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah, 12 months or 13 months, whatever, between the next Rosh Hashanah. So that's 2 years and 3 months. So you don't say when it comes already the second Rosh Hashanah, it's already the end of the third year. You don't say that. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Teves Shvat. That's 4.5 months. You have to wait another 4.5 months. And then that's the end of the Orla. And then begins the fourth year, has a din of Revai. So that's what it means. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanus. At the beginning of the fourth year, when the din of Revai apply, that's in Tu B'Shvat. What if I planted, let's say I planted a tree in Tishrei. And when it comes next Tishrei, that's the end of the first year. Next Tishrei, it's the end of the second year. Next Tishrei, let's say I planted a tree in Aseres and Meitshuva. So then when it comes 3 years later, it's already three full years based on the calendar. Let's say I planted the tree the fifth day of Tishrei. So it comes 3 years later, the fifth day of Tishrei, it's already three full years. So you still have to wait another 4.5 months. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. Or do you say no? You only have to wait till Tu B'Shvat at the end of the third year. If you chiseled off in the beginning, if you planted the tree in Tammuz or in Sivan, you planted the tree in Sivan, so you have Sivan Tammuz of Elul, only four months in the first year. So then you chiseled off, you were cheating on the first year, then you have to wait 4.5 months into the next, at the end. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. But if I planted the tree in Aseres Meitshuva, and it's already the fifth day, I planted the fifth day of Tishrei. I wait 3 years later, it's the fifth day of Tishrei. So it is 3 years. So then the Pashta says that you don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. The 3 years are already up. So the Ran on the Rif And Rosh Hashanah quotes this machlokes. And some Rishonim say you still have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. That's the halacha. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanah. And others say no. Tu B'Shvat is only Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanah with respect to Orla. And the Revai, if in the case where you don't have 3 full years, but if you already have 3 full years, miyom liyom, then you don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. What else is relevant to B'Shvat as Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanah, aside from Orla? And that the Revai, it's also relevant which year did the Peres belong to. The first year, there's a 7-year cycle of Shemitah. So the first 2 years, you mafrish Truma Gedolah first, you have to be mafrish in order. First Truma Gedolah, then Maaser Rishon, then Maaser Sheni. The third year, instead of being mafrish Maaser Sheni, you mafrish Maaser Ani. Then the fourth and the fifth years are a repeat of the first and the second years, that you mafrish Truma Gedolah, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Sheni. And then the sixth year is a repeat of the third year, that you mafrish Maaser Ani. So let's say the Peres that grew in the second year, you cannot be mafrish. What do you mean the Peres that grow in the second year, you mafrish Maaser Sheni? The Peres that grow in the third year, you mafrish Maaser Ani. The Peres are so careful that they don't begin to grow in between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. It's not like that. So the Gemara says there's a cutoff point. If you planted tvua, let's say, if I planted grain, so when did the Havo Ashlish take place? It depends. If the Havo Ashlish took place in the second year, then you mafrish Maaser Sheni. If the Havo Ashlish took place in the third year, then you mafrish Maaser Ani. What exactly does it mean, Havo Ashlish? Means that the kernels of grain are one-third the size that they're going to be when they'll be fully ripened, fully grown. The pre is one-third of this full size, or it means it's sitting in the ground one-third of the time that it has to sit. It's not going to be the same time because it sits in the growth picks up much faster towards the end. So if you need one-third of the full size, that's going to be much longer than one-third of the time that it's sitting in the ground. Sitting in the ground one-third is not going to be one-third the full size. So that's a discussion in the Malbushi Yantav, I think, in the recent Svarim. Malbushi Yantav is one of the few Svarim from the Achronim, from the later Achronim that Rav Soloveitchik was familiar with, because the author of the Malbushi Yantav was a rabbi in the same village where Rav Soloveitchik's father was the rabbi in Chaslavich. So that's why he saw that sefer in the Beis Medrash that was available. So he used to quote, every so often, he used to quote from the Malbushi Yantav. So when it comes to a grain, the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah, and the thing that determines is the Havo Ashlish. It's a question exactly what Havo Ashlish means. If the Havo Ashlish took place in the middle of the second year, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's the second year. So then you mafish Maaser Sheni. And if the Havo Ashlish took place in the middle of the third year, then you mafish Maaser Ani. Even from the first year to the second year, that you mafish the same hafrashes, Truma Gedolah, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. But if I have bushels from the first year and bushels from the second year, cannot be mafish Mishana al Chavato. That's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says, Aser Te'aseh Kol Tvas Arecha Hayotze Hasode Shana Shana. So the Gemara understands Shana Shana that you're not mafish Mishana al Chavata. What a b'di'evid, what if you did? That's a discussion in Rambam. But l'chatchila v'shu, you're not supposed to be mafish Mishana al Chavata. So by tvu it depends on Havo Ashlish. By Peres Elon, so the Gemara says it depends on Chanote. What does Chanote mean? So Rashi says when the fruit starts to blossom, Chanote, when it starts to taste, it disagree. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah. Does it disagrees with Rashi? It's still eights. When the fruits start to grow in the tree, they're not edible in the beginning. So it's like eights bialma. So you're not chayvin any hafrashes from samaisis on eights. Has to grow to a certain size to have the status of a pre. So Tosis disagrees with Rashi to say we assume like Tosis. Tosis says Chanote is approximately the same as Havo Ashlish by Tvua. Chanota means that the pre is already formed a little bit. It's not fully ripened, but it's like Havo Ashlish. So by Peres Elon, the din is that it depends on when the Chanota, did the Chanota occur in this year, in the second year, or in the third year, or in the first year? Yeah, what about the Yerokas? Yerokas depend on Lekita. when did the Lakita take place? That's the Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? Lakita is the further machlekes. Well, the Lakita means literally Lakita. That's how the Ritva learns, when you detach it from the ground. Or Lakita means when it's fully ripened and it's Roy Lilirikita. So let's say it was fully ripe and right before Rosh Hashanah, but you didn't bother to pluck it off. You were busy making preparations for Rosh Hashanah. And then you do the Lakita and Aseres and Mechuba. So according to the Ritva, it belongs to the second year, the next year, because you did the actual Lakita after Rosh Hashanah. Whereas according to Taisus, Lakita doesn't mean actual Lakita. It means when it's Roy Lilikita, means Gemar Gidl HaPri, and it's not going to grow anymore. So according to the Taisus, it'll belong to the previous year. Yeah, what about the kidneys depend on Hashrosha, when you planted it in the ground? So your kidneys to go Basa Hashrosha. And Paris or Elon, that you go Basa Chanata, what does it mean? If Chanata occurred in the second year, Chanata occurred in the first year. What do you mean Chanata? Chanata occurred, when is the first year? When is the second year? So that depends. If Chanata occurred before Tu B'Shvat, then it belongs to the previous year. Even though Tu B'Shvat is 4.5 months into the year already. Tu B'Shvat is the middle of the fifth month already. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tei B'Shvat. Still, if the Chanata occurred before Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to last year. Chanata occurred after Tu B'Shvat, that it belongs to the new year. So these are really the dinim of Tu B'Shvat. Why is there a minig that you don't say Tachnon? So the Makar in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Makar is the Mordechai. My impression is that the Jews lived in Europe for so many years and they forgot all about Eretz Yisrael. They forgot about all, but they weren't observing the mitzvahs of Tlis Bar. They didn't have an opportunity to wasn't shach to go to Eretz Yisrael, to make a government, to have an army. All of this was out of the question. The thing was inconceivable. But they wanted to have a connection with Eretz Yisrael. So they developed a meaning that you treat Tu B'Shvat as if it's a yontif. But there's no reason why it should be a yontif. The Mordechai says a lashon because it's Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos, and ki ha'adam eitz asode. Ki ha'adam eitz asode. So human beings are treated like trees. But the pasuk ki ha'adam eitz asode is bitmiya. The pasuk says when you go to wage war against your enemy and there are fruit-bearing trees, you're not allowed to chop down the trees. L'sashcha says it's eitza doach alecha garzen. Why ki ha'adam eitz asode? Are the trees human beings, that's part of the enemy? You're not allowed to kill civilians. When you go to war, you're not allowed to kill civilians. You're only allowed to kill members of the army. So the members of the army are the men, because by the goyim, they never drafted women into the army. It's scandalous that in Eretz Yisrael now they draft the women. There's no need to draft the women, and everybody knows that the army is weaker. If you have men and women mixing together, mingling, it's going to be weaker. The American government made studies about this, and they proved it beyond any shadow of a doubt. So it's really scandalous that in Eretz Yisrael they still have such preachers that they have army bases with men and women together. There's no reason to draft women in the army from Shonim Kadmanias. They never drafted women in the army. That's why it says, Raka tafa noshim. You don't kill. You only kill the men because the men are the soldiers and the tafa and the noshim are civilians. You're not allowed to kill civilians. Every war, you always kill civilians. It's very unfortunate. Every war, you always kill many, many civilians, but you have no choice. Yeah, that's the only way you wage war. Unfortunately, when you drop a bomb, so you're always going to kill civilians, but you're not allowed to, on purpose, intentionally, you're not allowed to kill civilians. They get killed. It's unfortunate.
So should we say Tachnon?
No, the meaning is that we don't say Tachnon. The question is like this, the Chasam Sofer quotes, has two tshuvas, one after the other, and tshuvas Chasam Sofer about Lag BaOmer. So every tshuva has a date. So the first tshuva he says, he heard that in Meiron and Eretz Yisrael, they give the chalaka, they give the haircut to the young children who are just 3 years old. They always save the haircut for Lag BaOmer. And they dance and they sing and have parades, all kinds of things. So he says, Iayasha Cheli, if they would listen to me, Avatlini, he would abolish the Lag BaOmer celebrations in Meiron because it's a violation of Baal Tosef. And he quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says, based on the simple reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that's the Poshep Shani Gemara, that you're not allowed to institute any additional Yamim Tovim over and above the Amim Tovim and the Chumash, unless they have unless it lives up to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainis. What is Megillas Tainis? Megillas Tainis is a book that was written down. Rashi said that's why it's called Megillah, because the Mishnayos were still being transmitted orally. And the Megillas Tainis has halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. So strictly speaking, you're not really supposed to have such a book. So Megillas Tainis list goes in order of the months of the year. Nisan year, Sivan Tim, Tammuz, and so on, goes in order of the months, and it lists off all of the Yom Tovim that were instituted midirabbanan bizman b'sheni. And they all had something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Either the improvement of the Hakrovus HaKrabonus, or the improvement of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, or the improvement of some of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, institution of the Kuhne G'dayla, or the institution of the Sanhedrin, and so on. So, and the simple reading of the Gemara is that it'll be an Iser of Baltesif if you'll introduce a Yontav that has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. So the Chasam Sofer is upset. He quotes this Pri Chodesh in the earlier Tshuva. He's upset why in Eretz Yisrael they make a whole Yontav out of, in Meiron, they make a whole Yontav out of Lag BaOmer. And he says, E'ayasha cheli avatlin. And what about the way they observed Lag BaOmer in Europe? They left out Tachnon. They made it into a Yontav. So that he doesn't raise an issue. Why not? That was always like that. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That says in Shulchan Aruch that we leave that Tachnon. The answer is that there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Gaonim. What is the status of reciting Tachnon? In the days of the Gemara, they said Tachnon. The Gemara in the end of Perek HaZohav tells when they put Rab Leizer ben Hurkanis in Cherem. So he used to say Tachnon every day. And one day his wife didn't let him, his wife, when they put him in Cherem, he couldn't go to the Beis Medrash anymore. So he used to daven at home all the time. So his wife was always there to be mafsik him, to talk to him, in between the Shemoneh Esrei and Tachnon, because your prayers are stronger if you say Tachnon immediately following Shemoneh Esrei without any hafsokim. So his wife didn't want his prayers to be so strong, because his wife was the sister of the chief rabbi who had to put him in Cherem. So she was afraid that her husband, Rabbi Leizer ben Hurkanis, is going to pray that the chief rabbi should be punished for putting him in Cherem. So she was afraid her brother is going to die, chief rabbi. So every day, she would always be there to talk to him in between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachnon, so his prayer should not be fully accepted. And one day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and it was really tomorrow was Rosh Chodesh, and today was not Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnon. So she thought that today's Rosh Chodesh. He's not going to say Tachnon anyway. And it turned out that she was wrong and he was right. Today was not Rosh Chodesh, so he did say Tachnon. And that day, his brother-in-law died. His prayers were answered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the brother-in-law, the chief rabbi, for putting him in the Cherem. So you see, in the days of the Gemara, they said Tachnun, and they knew that Tachnun enhances the Korach HaTfilah, and you're not supposed to be mafsik. The Gemara even has a Havamin and Megillah to have to say Tachnun in the same location where you said Shemoneh Esrei. You shouldn't walk to another part of the shul. The Gemara says, no, that's okay. Because in the days of the Gemara, when they said Tachna, they would do Nefilas Apayim. They would do Pishat Yadayim Ragayim. Some of the Sfaradish Rabbanim still do like that. In Eretz Yisrael, you'll see like that. Teimanim, I think Teimani Rabbanim. Balabatim also, when it comes to Tachna, they'll lay down on the floor and say the Pishat Yadayim Ragayim. So if a person was davening Shemoneh Esrei in one part of the shul where there's a stone floor, so there's a din. If there's a stone floor, you're not allowed to kneel, even though you're kneeling Lashamayim, you're not kneeling Lashamayim. To kneel on a stone floor is only in the Beis HaMikdash. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash was a stone floor. So you're not allowed to do that chutz LeBeis HaMikdash. So the Gemara tells that some of the Amoraim but Davin and Shul, and the location where they were had stones on the floor. So they would walk to another part of the shul in order to say Tachnun. And Gemara said, that's a chiddush. That one might have argued the point and thought that you have to say Tachnun. You shouldn't be mafzik in between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachnun. So maybe the Tachnun has to be the same location, the same spot in the shul. Gemara says, no, you can walk to another part of the shul and say Tachnun also. So Tachnun existed in the days of the Gemara. That's beferish. And Rosh Chodesh, they don't say Tachnun. The question is, is it Medina or is that a minik? So that's a machlekes. The Rambam writes that Tachnun is one of the dinim of tefillah. You're mechuyev to say tachna. Only if it's a yontif, like Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos yontif, then you don't say tachna. And the tour in Hilchas Tachnun, the tour Arachaim quotes the Tshuvas HaGa'inim, that tachnun was always a reshus. It's optional. You're not really mechuyev to say tachna. So today it's a minig that we always say tachna. So apparently this didn't bother the Chasam Seifers how much. The fact that they celebrated Lag BaOmer all over the world by the Ashkenazim, by deleting Tachnun, a lot of times we leave out Tachnun and there's no valid cause because we assume Tachnun is a Rishus. But he heard that in Meiron, when they celebrate Lag BaOmer, they give the young children the haircuts and they have parades and dancing and singing and everything. So that he felt was a violation of Baal Tosef. Because he didn't think that Lag BaOmer had anything to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Then the second tshuva that's printed in Tshuvas Chasam Sefer right after the first one, he backs out from the whole thing, and he thinks that the Pichadush is not correct, that there's no Issa Baal Tosef to introduce more Yamatayim. But the Pashtus is like the first tshuva. The simple meaning of the Gemara is that there is an Issa, that you're not allowed to. In many communities, they used to have, let's say, Frankfurt Purim. In Frankfurt, there used to be in Oda Sheni, there was some kind of a holiday, that there was some kind of Yeshua that happened a few centuries ago. Here in Broyers, they leave out when you have a Shona Moberes on Oda Sheni, there's one day that's called Frankfurt Purim. So nobody alive today remembers what happened. It happened a few hundred years ago, but there was a Yeshua. So they would celebrate, they would make a party, they would celebrate. So that's not a violation of Baal Tosef because it doesn't really look like a yontif. It's only the people in that city, in many different cities. They would, or let's say the Tosef yontif would celebrate. I think there was a fire in his home and he almost got killed. So he would celebrate every year. So that was a family celebration. Or let's say Rabbi Willig, one of his children when he was born was very, very sick, refoil. And then he was, after a couple of weeks, he got better. So every year they would make a Suda Soidoya in commemoration of that. So that's not a violation of Baal Tosef. It's a family celebration. It's a small celebration. But if you have a celebration that the Jews all over the world are celebrating, a Yom Tov, like Yom Atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, there are some loonies who are not celebrating, the Turi Kartanikis, they're not celebrating, they're saying Kinnis. But everybody in the world, everybody else in the world is celebrating. So then it's a Shaila or Baal Tosef. Unless you think that it may have something, unless you think that the fact that there was Hakamas HaMedina, and the fact that there was Kibush Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash is in Jewish control, unless you think that that will probably, there's a good chance that may lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If you think it may lead up, then it's grounds to celebrate the Yontif, then it corresponds to the rules and regulations of Megillah's time. So that's why Tu B'Shvat, the only thing we do is we delete the Tachna. That's okay. But other people have a whole Seder. They have a whole Seder for Tu B'Shvat. So that could be, that may be an issue. Sfardim have like that something, Al-Pikabol, and the Hasidim, whatever's Al-Pikabol, so the Hasidim picked it up. So they observe like that also. But everybody else doesn't have that. We shouldn't adopt other people's Minhagim because they're not also Pashut. Leaving out Tachnun is Nishgefelach, that's not a violation of Baal Tosef, but having a whole Seder, that could be an issue of Baal Tosef. In this week's Seder, we have that some mitzvahs were given. Last week, we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas Bo, and next week, we're going to read about Matan Torah. Maimon HaSinai was 7 weeks after they counted Sfira. That's the Medrash that ran on the last page in the Rif in Psochim. The Rif in the last page himself quotes the Dinim of Sfira Soima. So the Ran on the Rif quotes a Medrash that where did the mitzvah of Sfira Soima come from? The Jewish people knew that it's going to be 7 weeks till Maimon HaSinai. So they were counting with anticipation, like sometimes a couple is engaged to get married and they're so excited. So they're counting how many days, they're counting down. How many days do they have till they're going to get married? So that's what Bnei Zohar were counting. How many days have gone by since Yetzias Mitzrayim, because at the end of 7 weeks, it's going to be Maimon HaSinai. So the Rebbe Shalom thought that it was so beautiful. That's how the Medrash says that the Ran quotes on the last page in Pesachim. Rebbe Shalom thought that it's such a beautiful thing that the Jewish people express such excitement in anticipation of Maimon HaSinai. So he gave us a mitzvah every year we should count Sfira Soima. Okay, that's how the Medrash says. So in between Yetzias and Sinai, Maamar HaSinai, this week is in between Parshas Bishalach. So in Parshas Bishalach, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave some of the mitzvahs before Maamar HaSinai. So the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim gives you the whole history of the development of the mitzvahs. He says that Rabbanu Shalom created the world, Nusheshes, Mei Breshes. Adam Arishan was created on Friday, the sixth day of Sheshes, Mei Breshes. And Adam Arishan was given six mitzvahs. He wasn't given Eved Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. And so it's irrelevant. You're not allowed to eat Eved Menachai, you can't eat any meat at all. And then after the Mabul, Noach was given the permission to eat Kiera Kesem, the Sate Lechem is kol. He's permitted to eat meat, just like fruits and vegetables, Amutar. So then he had to be given a din that Achbas B'davsha Damalos Achelo, that you're not permitted to eat Eid Menachai and Basa Menachai. So then it became the Sheva Mitzvah's Bnei Noach. And the whole world was going like this for 10 generations. From Adam Arish until Noach was 10 generations. So there used to be six mitzvahs, it became seven. The Noach Tel Avram Avinu was another 10 generations, says in Chumash, Esed Doiris, the Noach Bar Avram, and then Avram Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, mitzvah Bris Milo. Yitzhak Avinu was given the opportunity to fulfill Hafroshas Maisris, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gidon Osha. So the world was going like this until Jews and Mitzrayim. The Rambam has some kind of a medrash. The regular standard Mefarshim don't know where the Medrash is. Maybe not by now they found it already. The Rambam says that Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given a few mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. We don't have it in the Gemara, in the famous Midrashim, we don't have it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the dinim, and we read the dinim of Korban Pesach. It was given Hayra Shua, to knock on the next to the neighbor's doors and to ask for matonis, but it was also given some of the dinim ledoris of Korban Pesach. And then in this week's Sedra, we read that several additional mitzvahs were given before Maamar HaSinai. So one of the additional mitzvahs that was given was the mitzvah of Kibbud Aviyam. Who says that was given before Matan Torah? It says in Aseres Adibros, Kabiris Avicha V'Semecha Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alakecha. That's what it says in Vo'es Chanan. So when was it Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alakecha? So Poshe Pshat, you can say, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the text in Vos Chanan is a text of the Luch HaShnius. Maybe Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Alakecha means, as I instructed you in the first Luchas, at Maamar HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed Aseres Adibros, Kibbud Aviyam. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came down 40 days later, after Maamar HaSinai, came down with the Luchas, and he saw the Jewish people dancing around the eagle. So he smashed the Luchas, and then later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Psoluchos shneluchos havarim karishanim, chasapti haluchos es hadvarim asher hayu, alaluchos harishanim asher shibartos." HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraves on the second luchos, "Kabedos avicha v'simecha, kashet zilcha Hashem alakech." When is that beluchos rishonais? So the Gemara thinks that pshat is not correct. Kashet zilcha doesn't mean luchos rishonais. It says, "Chasapti haluchos es hadvarim asher hayu." The text of the second luchas was the same as the text of the first luchas. In the Chumash, there are discrepancies between the text as it appears in Yisro and the text of the Aseres Adibros as it appears in Vos Chanan. But the Ramban al HaTorah, the Ibn Ezra, asks, how come the Chachamei HaGemara were only concerned about the discrepancy regarding Zocha B'Shama? What about the other discrepancies between the text of Luchas Rishonis and Luchas Shnius? He doesn't have an answer. So the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says the answer is the following. When the Chumash quotes what someone said, Chumash quotes Lavan said something, and Paro said, and Yosef said, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Chumash not Mechuyev, the Chumash quotes the text of the Aseres Adibros on the Luchas. The Chumash is not necessarily quoting verbatim. It's not necessarily a direct quotation word for word. It could be that the text of the Luchas was neither the text as it appears in Yisro nor as it appears in Vos Chanan. Could be that it was the third text. The Chumash is only giving you the gist of what it said. So why were the Chazal worried about Zocha B'Shama? Just giving you the gist. So he says, no, the Ramban explains, Zocha B'Shama, there's a major discrepancy. Zocha is a mitzvah saseh and Shama is a loy saseh. Whenever it says Shama pen or al, that's the equivalent of loy, that's a loy saseh. The Gemara says, you only get Malkus if you violate an Aver that's similar to low, Sachsam Shor Bedisha. It has to either be written in the Chumash by saying lo, or like lo sech lekon levela, something like that, either loy or hisham pen mi'al is equivalent of loy. So shamar is a loy sese, not to do malach on Shabbos. Zohar is a mitzvah sase. So that's why the Chazal said, what is the gist of the dibur of Shabbos? Is it an essay or is it a loy sese? The Gemara says, Zohar v'shamar b'dibur echa nemru. They were both proclaimed simultaneously. What was written on the luchas, we don't know. But it wasn't that the luchas v'shoyne said one way and the luchas shnei said another way. The text on the luchas was the same. That's what it said. V'chasavte l'halochos esadvarim shehoyu alalochos harishanim asher shibarta. So if in v'eschanan it says, kabed asericha v'seimecha, kasher tzivcha Hashem alakecha, it can't mean, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you at Maimon HaSinai. No, kasher tzivcha must. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai. Kasher tzivcha must have been, I instructed you before you came to Har Sinai. So that's what the Gemara said. That was in Mora. In Mora, on the way to Har Sinai, they were given the din of Kibbut Aviyim. Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Yeah. Kibbut Aviyim is a very challenging mitzvah. Most people who are blessed with parents don't observe the mitzvah properly. Abaye was an orphan. His father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth, so he had no father, no mother. He was raised by his uncle, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And his name was Nachmeni. We assume that Abaye is a nickname. What does the nickname mean? So there are different explanations printed on the side of the Gemara. So some say, Abaye is a Rosh HaTevas, Asher B'cho Yerucham Yosom. That's an expression in Novi. Asher B'cho Yerucham is one of the Haftorahs, because he was an orphan. Others say that it was the nickname. His real name was Nachmeni. And Rabba, his uncle, raised him, and Rabba's father was Nachmeni, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So Rabba used to call him Tatanyu, instead of calling him Nachmeni, because his own father's name was Nachmeni, so he used to call him Tatanyu. So that's Abaye. Abaye is Tatanyu. He's calling him because he had the same, Abaye had the same name as Rabba's father, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. But Abaye was an orphan, had no father, had no mother. So the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Kedushin has the whole sugya of Kibbut Aviyim. So Abaye makes a statement how fortunate he is that he never had the obligation to fulfill Kibbut Aviyim, because both parents passed away. The father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth. He says the people have parents, are blessed with parents, but it's such a serious mitzvah and hardly anybody fulfills it properly. A lot of people feel guilty during the parents' lifetime. They didn't really fulfill Kibbut Aviyim properly. So after the parents die, then they spend a fortune of money on a coffin, and they spend a fortune of money on tachrichim. They spend a lot of money. Okay, if they want to do that, they feel guilty. Okay, but the better route would have been to try to fulfill the mitzvah properly. What exactly is Kibbut Aviyim? So the Gemara points out that there are two. It's all quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara points out that there are two different mitzvahs. One is Kibbut Aviyim. One is Mora Aviyim. So kibud, we would have translated kibud means to give honor. So the Gemara says, not so. Kibud means to give service. Machilo, mashkehu, manilo, machitzo, socho. If the father needs a little help, he needs someone to go shopping for him, or he needs someone to help him get dressed, or he needs someone to cook for him or something, or the mother wants someone to take down the garbage, to service the parents, to give service to the parents. When a person gets married, he has to get a job. So let's say he's a doctor. He gets a job in Los Angeles. So he has to stay in New York. His parents live in New York. He can't take a job in Los Angeles because he has to service the parents. So the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim was never intended to restrict the children from advancing. Where he is now, he's a doctor, he'll never get ahead. Now they want to make him the head of a department in Los Angeles, but he has to move to Los Angeles. So once he moves to Los Angeles, it's unreasonable. The mother's going to call him and call him on the phone, can you please take down the garbage? That's unreasonable. He should fly in from California to take down the garbage. So that's, if the parents make it unreasonable, the children have a right to move to Los Angeles. That's a shot that the children have the right to move to Eretz Yisrael. The parents want them to live nearby to service them. How to service them? They're busy? No, they should visit once in a while. They should bring the grandchildren once in a while. And if they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, they'll hardly ever see each other. They'll send photographs in the mail, okay. But they'll visit once a year, whatever. But it's not going to be the same as if they live close by. They won't be able to be mahana their parents. Let's say when the children are still single. So let's say the parents are busy all week long. Everybody runs to do a job. They only see the children on Shabbos and Yom Tov when the whole family, when they have off from work. So they sit together. So the parents enjoy seeing their children. So the children should be mahana their parents. That's, they should give service to the parents. That's kibud avayim. Mora avayim means to give respect. Lo yeshadim koma, not to sit in the parents' seat. Stand up when the parents walk into the room. Must assume today that the parents are moichel on the kovet. So you don't have to stand up. But if it's obvious that they're not moichel on the kovet, then they didn't really require supposed to stand up. And you're not supposed to sit in their seat. You're not supposed to call the parents by their first name. In America, it's a shtick. The parents want to act as if they're young. So they want their children, a lot of parents want their children to call them by the first name. The children should refer to the father as Jack, or they should refer to the mother as Mary, or whatever. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not permissible, even if the parents are moichel on the kovet. The din is that the parents have a right to be moichel on the kovet, but they have no right to be moichel on bizoyin. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not proper. Even though the parents want it, they want to feel younger. They want to feel as if they're 25 years younger, the same age as their children. That's not proper. The children should not refer to their parents by their first name. Yeah. So these are the two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of kibud avayim and the mitzvah of mor avayim. Kibud is to give service to the parents, to be mahana their parents. It's unreasonable to expect that the children should be home every single Shabbos and Yom Tov. They can never go visit their friends. Today it's assume that it's reasonable that the children want to visit somewhere, but it has to be a balance. They have to be mahana. The parents never see the children the whole week long. The children are running to school or whatever, and the parents are running to work, so they never see each other. So they only see each other on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's not right that they should go. If the parents really want the children to be home, it's not, they have no right to be unreasonable, to insist that the children have to be home every single Shabbos, every single Yom Tov. A little bit, they have a right to go to their friends. Should be all within reason. So that's the din of kibud avayim. And then kibud avayim is machila mashkeu, to be mahana their parents. And mor avayim is to show respect for the parents. There is a famous discussion that appears, the Minchas Chinuch has this discussion, on Parshas Yisran, Kabiras Avich Vesimecho. Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer in Hungary. So he has a tshuva halacha about this. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibud avayim? That you have to give service to the parents. Is that in mor avayim, to show respect? Is this a mitzvah bin adam la'makom or bin adam la'chaver? Some of the mefarshim achum, some of the rishonim say that the aseres hadibros, the first five are bin adam la'makom and the next five are bin adam la'chaver. La'sirtzach, la'sinach, la'signal, la'sana berecha, et shoker. And the first five are bin adam la'makom. So kibud avayim is mitzvah number five. So many assume that that's been adam la'makom. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch and the Maram Shik on the Supik about. Is it been adam la'makom that really we have to show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. So how can you show kavod? How can you give him respect? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shlosh Shutvim Yesh Ba'adam. The Gemara has this expression in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, in the middle of the Sugya of Kibud Avayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am invisible, but your parents are there with you. So if you'll show kavod to your parents, I will consider it as if you are mechabed me. Because we're all three of us hashutvim. Avi v'ima and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlosh hashutvim yesh ba'adam. And whoever will be disrespectful to the parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if they were disrespectful to him. So that's one way to explain the nature of the mitzvah kibud avayim. It's a mitzvah bin adam la'makom. It's a way to indirectly show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the other way to say is, no, it's been adam l'chaverai. Maybe since the parents brought us into this world, and they usually they take care of us, and they send us to high school, college, and they married us off. So even if the parents were not so kind, even if the parents were miserable and someone else took care of us, the fact that the parents brought us into the world, so that should be enough to be mechayev us out of HaKoros HaTov. We should have a debt of gratitude towards the parents. And we're mechuyev bin adam lachavero to demonstrate that hakara satayif. What's the difference? Halacha lemaisa, it's a mederek tahin, it's a mederek taher. If you have a chakira that doesn't have enough kamina, it's not a valuable chakira. So what's the difference? They don't say a chakira, they say sveka dedina. So the minchas chino has the following nafkamina. The din is that whenever I did an aver bin adam lachavero, I can do tshuva 1,000 times over. So if I says chaver, I have to ask apology from chaver. Let's say I stole from someone else, or I was mazik someone else, or I schovel b'chaver. I violated an aver bin adam lachaver, and I do tshuva. I never do that. I'm never going to repeat that aver. But I didn't ask apology of the person. So the Mishnah says in Perek HaChovel, even though he paid the money, the damages that he caused, Tzor Sheyefai says Chaveh, has to ask Mechila. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch has a suffix. What if a person violated Kibbut Aviyim? Let's say he gets married, he moves away, never calls the parents, zero. No connection at all with the parents. Just like he doesn't call anybody else who lives in the neighborhood. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He cuts off his relationship with everybody else in the neighborhood, so he doesn't have any connection with the parents either. He doesn't ba'avol the parents. He didn't do anything improper to the parents, but he doesn't show any keshev at all. Never calls, never wishes good Shabbos, gantav, nothing, nothing. So then when he finally decides to do tshuva and act like a mensch, so does he have to ask apology of the parents? Was the mitzvah kibbut aviyim, was he really ben adam lachavero? So Tzor Sheyefai says, Chavera should be assumed. No, it's Beit Odom Lamokam. So from now on, he's going to observe Kibbut Aviyim. Maybe he only has to ask apology from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have to ask apology from the parents. That's the suffix that the Minchas Chinuch has. The Maram Shik has a tshuva, different nafkamina. Same Shaila, different nafkamina, but it's related. He said there was an incident that the father and his son had some kind of a disagreement. And the son irritated the father to the extent that the father said, "I'm boichel the kibbut aviyim. I don't want you to do me any favors. Me'atavad oilam. From now on, don't do me any favor. Don't show any kibbut aviyim. Period." So this the father said when he's 50 years old, and the son is 25 years old. And then when the father reaches the age of 80, then he can use a little help. So he calls up the son and he says, "Could you please help me out?" So the son said, "No, you are Moichel, I'm not Mechuyev." Let's say Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and then Shimon says he's Moichel. So Moichel, okay. And then a year goes by, and then they're no longer friendly. So then Shimon says, "I want you to pay me the $1,000. So Reuven says, "No, you are Moichel. Once you are Moichel, I'm not Mechuyev to pay." So what's the story over here? So the Gemara says that by Kibbut Aviyim, the father can be Moichel on his COVID. But the question is, does that really mean it's the father is a bailim to be moichel on the kovid? If the chi of kovid is b'nodim lachaver, then the father could be moichel on the chi of kovid, and then the chi of will be poka. There's no chi of kovid. It could be that the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim is really b'nodim lamokam and not b'nodim lachaver. So it could be the father is not a balabos to be moichel. Either din is he can be moichel. No, that's because that's a definition of kovid. There's an expression in Hebrew, "Tzonu shalodam zehu kavodo." The way to show kavod is to do the wish that the person has. So the father says, "Don't do me any favors. I'm angry at you. I don't want you to give me any services. Me'atavad oilam." So for the first, from the age of 50 till the age of 80, for 30 years, so the son will not show any kibbut aviyim. Then when the father reaches 80, so he says he needs a little help. So he calls the son. "Yes, could you please help me?" So the question is, does the son have the right to say, "No, you are moichel"? Or do you say, "No, for the last 30 years between the age of 50, age of 80, father was moichel, and ritzon shalodim zel kvodo"? It's not called kovod to force it upon the person. I remember I used to visit my father the last years of his life. My father died at the age of 94. I used to visit him every Monday night. I gave a shiur in Flatbush, and my father lived in Borough Park. I used to stop off after the shiur on the way home to Washington Heights. So sometimes I would stay for a few minutes. I asked my father, "Would you like me to make a cup of tea?" So he said, "I'm not an invalid. I can make my own tea. I don't need..." Okay. So I can't force the kibbut aviyim. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want. People, all the people want to maintain their own independence, and they don't want the children to help them out. But if they need some help, That's the Shiloh. So for the 30 years between the age of 50 and 80, the father was angry at the son. And he said, don't do me any favors. Don't give me any service. Don't give me any kibbut. I don't want any kibbut. Okay, so the definition of kibbut is, it's on a shalat, themzel kvoda. But now from the age of 80 on, if you hold that kibbut aviyim is really being adam lamokam, so the father is not the balabos, he's not in a position, he has no right to be meichel. So only for 30 years he said, I don't want it. But now from the age of 80 on, he does want it. So the son should be mechuyev to do service for the father. So I think the Maram Shik wants to bring a raya from the fact that the Gemara says, mechabda mechayim, mechabda lachamoso. The din of kibbut aviyim applies not only when the father is alive, even after the father dies, also din of kibbut aviyim. So if it's a shibud ben adam machaveri, if it's a ben adam machaveri, there's no shibud into a dead person. So from the fact that there's a din of kibbut aviyim to the parents even after they die, mechabda lachamoso, that should be a conclusive proof that the nature of the mitzvah is ben adam lamakam. It doesn't prove that it's only ben adam lamakam. There's a third side, could be both ben adam lamakam and ben adam machaveri, could be that it's both. But that's what the Maram Shik says. Don't you see from the fact mechabda lachamoso, it's a new Jewish mamshik chelik yeridaya, and it goes in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, where it has in Shulchan Aruch yeridaya the din of kibbut aviyim. So he says, you see from the fact mechabda lachamoso that there is at least also an element of ben adam lamok. Could be that it's both. So if there's an element of ben adam lamok, then the father was never a balabos in the first place. He's only a balabos to be mochel if it's ben adam lachavera. But if there's only ben adam lamakam, or it's also ben adam lamakam, then he's not a balabos to be mochel on that. That's a question that Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis in the end of the first pair of Kiddushin raises the possibility. Maybe that din mechabda lachamos is only a chumra midirabbanan. Maybe menatar it's really ben adam lachavera only, and lachamosa there's no shibudim to a mace. There's never any chiyuvim to a mace. And mechabda lachamos, maybe it's only midirabban, maybe it's not menatur. That's a possibility. But that's a question. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim? Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a few svarim. So one of the svarim is called I forgot the name of the sefer. He has Shev de Nechemta. Shev de Nechemta, the seven haftaris that we say in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. The 7 weeks in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, the seven haftaris of Nechama, Nachamu, Nachmu, Ami, and the other six that are revolve about the themes of Nechama. So Yosef Engel's mother passed away, and he wrote seven essays that should be Menachem him. The essays have nothing to do with Nechama, just the essays of Agoda. So one of the essays, he raises this issue, what's the nature of kibbut aviyim, ben adam lamakam, ben adam lachavera. So he points out that in Parshas Bishalach and today's Sedra, Professor Horowitz, who teaches in a college, haven't seen him in 9 months, 10 months. But he always used to give me svarim. He always used to, whenever he got an extra copy of a sefer, would always give me a sefer. So he gave me a sefer that was written by a dear friend of his who passed away in Eretz Yisrael. He was this chavrusa for many years, a sefer on Chumash. So I saw in that sefer on Chumash is this Talmud Chochma, who was a Rosh Yeshiva somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. He has the same shot that Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the Neshev de Nechemta. In today's Sedra, it says when the Jews were in Mara, Sham Sam Lachok HaMishpat, Sham Nisahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people Chok HaMishpat. What does that mean? So Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Dinim were given to Bnei Yisrael in Mara. Before Maimon HaSinai, Dinim were given. So Gemara, what do you mean Dinim were given? Dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs, Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach already had Dinim. So what was given to the Jewish people? So the Gemara says, Dini Knossos, the Bnei Noach have only mamim. They don't have any knas. We have three types. We learned the Tosfos on Daf Chavtes. There's mamim, there's knas, and there's kapara with the six or seven afkaminas ledina between kapara on the one hand And Mamre Knas, on the other hand, that was very important, that Taisus appeared in Bava Kamma, in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Taisus in Bava Kamma, Mem Gimon, and the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Kuv Dalet, and the Taisus in Ksubis, on Daf Lamed Amid Beis. That's an important, and we had it in Psochem on Daf Chavtes. So the addition of Dinim of Knas and Kapara, that was only given in Har Sinai. So the Dinim were given in Mara, that was before Har Sinai. But the Bnei Noach have Dinim is only Mamed. They don't have Knas, they don't have Kapara. Oh, the Gemara says that by Bnei Noach, all you need is a Bezn of Echad, Eid Echad, Vedayan Echad. And by Dinim, by the Jewish people, you need a Bezn of 3. And sometimes you need Dinim, you need a Bezn of 23 when you're done Dinim Nefashis. So that was given a Mara. That was over and above what the dinim for the Bnei Noach. So the pasuk says, "Sham sam lo chokom mishpat." So the Chazal said, "B'morin it's tavo al adinim," because it says mishpat was given. Chok, we usually think of paraduma. Zos chukas ha-Torah paraduma. So there's a mechilta that Rashi quotes on Chumash that paraduma, the mitzvah paraduma, was given a Mara. The author of the Torah Tamim, I think, suggests that maybe it's a misprint in Rashi. It's a misprint in Rashi. It has to be a misprint in the Mechilta also. The Mechilta says that Paraduma was given in Mara. That's Chok. That I think the Torah Tamim suggests that it must be, it said, Chof Aleph meant Kibbut Aviyim. The Gemara says Kibbut Aviyim was given in Mara because it says in Parshas Vayeschanan, Previously means a Mara before. It doesn't mean Luchas Rishonos. Luchas Rishonos, Luchas Shniyos said the same thing. So Kashet Sivcha means previously before Maimon HaSinai in Mara. So that's what the Torah Tamim suggested. Maybe there was in Rashi it said Kibbut Aviyim was given. And then they made a Rashi Tevis out of it. And then they thought that the Chof Aleph was Pei Aleph. The someone wrote the Paraduma. Yeah, but if it's a if it's a mistake, if it's a Tosef and Rashi, then it's a Tosef and the Mechilta also, because the Mechilta says the Paraduma was given. So it could be that the Paraduma was given and Dinim was given. So where does it say in the Chumash that Kibbut Aviyim was given? The Gemara points out, Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, but where does it say in the Chumash? So that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel and this friend of Professor Horowitz, they write, that what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim? Is it ben adam la'makom or is it ben adam la'chaveiro? Is it ben adam la'chaveiro out of a debt of gratitude that we have to the parents? So does that make sense? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has that the Gemara says that for 2.5 years there was a debate between Beshama and Beshilo whether it's noach l'adam shenivra or noach l'adam sheloi nivra. Would it have been better for man that he should not have been born into the world? Or is it better that man was brought into the world? See, after 2.5 years, they came to the maskana that Noach l'lo adam sheloi nivra. It would have been better for man that he should not have been brought into the world. Why? So the Masha says, because it's very easy to sin. There are 365 averis, and it's very, the Yetzirah is around all the time, and it's very easy to sin. So it would have been better for man, Noach l'lo adam sheloi nivra, misha nivra. So we really shouldn't owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. We should sue the parents. That's the latest thing. Children are always suing the parents because of things that the parents did raise their children when they were young. So we should really have the right to sue the parents. They did us an avla by bringing us into the world. If we assume the maskani after 2.5 years of debate between Misham and Mesilo was Nach L'Olodim Shalei Nivra. I think that's the Gemara in Erevin, I think, no? And if you give him a base, however, there's a little tesis there on that daf and Erevin, you give him a base, but they says this whole debate that they had, that's by an average person. But if the person is unusual tzaddik, then ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro. It's his praises that he's an oyver Hashem, and it's the praises of the generation that they have such a wonderful tzaddik. So then if he's an unusual tzaddik, then he does owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. So the question was brought up, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim? Is it ben olam ha-chaver, do we owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, or is it ben olam ha-mokem? It's just shlosh shut from yesh ba'odam, and by showing kavod to parents, we're showing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the invisible shutef. They'll consider it as if we showed kavod to him. So it really should, that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says, it really should depend who the person is. If the person is unusual tzaddik, then ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro, then he owes a debt of gratitude to the parents. Then it's ben adam la'makom also. Then it's ben adam la'chavera also. But if he's just nobody special, he's an adam benoni, and then we don't owe a debt of gratitude to the parents at all, then you have to assume that it's only ben adam la'makom. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests. And this friend of Professor Horowitz has in his Sefer HaChumash also, Shom Sam Lo Chok HaMishpat, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah that sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. Sometimes it's Ben Adam LaMokim, and sometimes it's Ben Adam LaChaver. If he's nobody special, then it's only Ben Adam LaMokim, chok. But if he's an unusual tzaddik, Ashrei Lo Ashrei Ledora, then he owes a debt of gratitude to the parents, then it's also Ben Adam LaChaver in addition to being Ben Adam LaMokim. An interesting interpretation. When you start Siman Resh Mem and Yeridei Hilchas Kibur Aviyim, so they quote their machlokes, the Rambam in the Tur. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah Kibur Aviyim applies even if the parents are Rishoyim. And the Tur disagrees. It's against the Gemara, the first daf in Perek Ezer Neshech. The Gemara says that if the Aviv Rosho and he didn't do tshuva, then the Gemara says there's no mitzvah of Kibur Aviyim, Aviv Rosho. So what does the Rambam do with that Gemara? So the Marsham, I think, quotes from his brother. Marsham wrote has a sefer Das Torah on Yerideya. Oh, Mar Mekayim is fantastic. Bekiyas, fantastic. So at the end of the sefer, he has miscellaneous Aoris. I think maybe he quotes this from his brother, that based on the passage in Yerushalmi, has something similar. So he suggests this to answer the Rambam. The Rambam meant that there's a din of Kibur Aviyim. Even if the parents are Rishoyim, that's during the lifetime of the parents. And the Gemara that says in the first daf, in Ezeo Neshech, that the din of Kibur Aviyim does not apply for Aviv Rosho, because Nasi Biamcha, Loisar is only Be'oise Maisa Amcha. If they're observant, if they're not Shem Yom Mitzvahs, then Ein Oise Maisa Amcha, then there's no Chi of Kovit. Then they have no Chi of Kovit. So that's the Gemara there happens to be talking Lach Amisa. The parents died already. The parents died, so the mechabda, mechabda lachamosa doesn't apply if he's a Russia. Why should that be so? Why should it make a difference, mechayim or lachamisa? So the Marsham gives the explanation, I think. Mechayim, there's an element of bin adam lachavero. I owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, even if the parents are rishoyim. Still, I owe a debt of hakoras hatayv. But lachamisa, there's no shibudim to a mace. So Lachamisa, if there's really a din deraisa of Kibur Aviyim, very small, Mishnah raised the possibility maybe Mechabda Lachamosa is only the Rabbana. But even if one should assume Mechabda Lachamosa is a din deraisa, it won't be Betoris Ben Adam Lachaver. There are no Ben Adam Lachaveres if the person is not alive. There's not a Chavero. No Shibudim to a Meis. So Lachamisa, it's only Ben Adam Lamokim because Shlosh Shut from Yesh Ba'adam. So if the parents were not Shomrei Mitzvahs, the parents are Rishoyim. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, whoever's going to go show kavod to the parents, consider it as if they showed kavod to me. So he's not proud of this shutfus. So the Ben Adam LaMokim doesn't apply if the Aviv Rosha. It's only Ben Adam HaChaver. Ben Adam HaChaver is only Kozman that he's alive. So that could be that's the Rambam's opinion. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch has all the dinim of Ezu Kibud ve Ezu Moira. Kibud is to give service, and Moira is to show respect and so on. And all the dinim are well known till you get to the last Ramah in Siman Resh Mem. So the Ramah says the din of Kibud Aviyim doesn't apply whenever it's in conflict with a mitzvah. Let's say the father on Shabbos, my father asked me, could I please make him a cup of tea? Today Shabbos, I'm not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He asked me, I should cook. He wants me to go shopping for him on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. So whenever there's a conflict between a real din and Kibud Aviyim, you're not allowed to observe the Kibud Aviyim. Even if it's only a din, the Rabbanon, even if it's only a minute. Let's say the mother died and the father had, and the son is saying Kaddish. That's a universal minig by Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Everybody has that. It's based on a Zohar. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef in the end of Yeridei, Hilchos Avelos, that the children say Kaddish. So the father says he gets the heebie-jeebies when he's in shul and the son is saying Kaddish, he's still alive. He doesn't want the son to say Kaddish, but that's a universal minig. So that's not right. The Pischei Tshuva quotes there, it's not right. The father has no right to tell the son, I don't want you to say Kaddish for the mother because I feel uncomfortable. But let's say the son is fasting Bahab or practice that Amidus Chassidus that not a common practice. Most people don't have. Or he's fasting Yom Kippur Kotten. And the father is being honored. They're having some kind of a dinner in his honor. And the son is going to come. He's not going to eat. So it's going to look funny. So the father wants his son to eat with him. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's only not a widespread minig. It's only a chamidus chasidus that some people have. So then it's not right. The son should observe the kibbutz. Kibbutz should take precedence over his personal midas chasidus. But if it's a real minig, so then a real minig is binding. Minig toiv is binding mitam nedim and rabbanon. So he's obligated. He's obligated to observe the minig, and he can't observe kibbutz in that situation. So the Shulchan Aruch has at the very last Ramo and Simen Reish Mem, the Simen about kibbutz yaim. So the Ramo says, what if the son wants to marry a girl? And the parents are objecting. The parents are not happy about the shidduch. So the din of kibbutz aviyim doesn't apply. It may be that the parents have much more life's experience than the son, and it may be that it's going to be a tragedy. It'll be the biggest disaster for the son to marry the girl. Maybe he's doing a foolish or stupid thing by marrying a girl that his parents are not happy with. Maybe the parents have a better judgment than he does. Very often, now I belong to the parents' union, so very often the parents do have a better judgment than the son. Son fell in love with a good-looking girl, but she's missing a lot of other qualities. She only has the good looks. So, strictly speaking, the Ramo says that the mitzvah of kibbutz aviyim doesn't apply in a situation where the parents are not happy about the shidduch. So the Vilna Gaon quotes on that sif three different reasons why. So one explanation he gives is like this: the son is prepared to get married with the girl. He didn't meet the girl overnight. He must have been dating the girl for a while, and he decided, and it's not the only girl that he dated. He probably dated other girls. He decided he wants to marry this girl. So if the parents are going to prevent him from marrying the girl, then he's going to have to start all over again. It's not that he doesn't marry this girl, he's going to marry the other girl. It's either this girl or that girl, and the parents say no, so let him marry the other girl. It doesn't happen like that. It's going to take him another couple of months or another couple of years till he meets another girl whom he thinks is good for him. So then it's the equivalent of the parents telling him not to fulfill a mitzvah. Whenever the kibbutz aviyim is in conflict with a mitzvah, he wants to get married now to fulfill the mitzvah, getting married and starting to raise a family. And the parents, in effect, are telling him, postpone another couple of years till you meet somebody else. So whenever the kibbutz aviyim is in conflict with a mitzvah, so there's no din of kibbutz av. That's one explanation. Then the Be'er HaGro'ah quotes, he's quoting earlier sources. He's quoting from the Rishonim and the Anachronim who gave the reason for the din. So usually Be'er HaGro'ah doesn't show what the Vilna Gaon's own opinion is. It shows he's quoting the early sources. A lot of times, the Vilna Gaon himself didn't hold like that din in Shulchan Aruch. And the Be'er HaGro'ah, he doesn't say anything. He's just giving the Ma'ar Mekaymus for the din. So that's the one reason. Then there's another reason why the din is kibbutz av is mishal av velo mishal bein. Let's say my father is not a poor man, and the son is not a poor man. So the father tells his son, I'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael this summer. So I'd like you to make all the arrangements. So I tell my father, okay, give me a credit card, and I'll call the hotel, and I'll call the taxis, and I'll call the airlines, and I'll get you a ticket and everything, and I'll get you a taxi, take you to the, everything will be arranged. So the father says, no, your credit card. You have the mitzvah kibbutz aviyim, you pay for it. So the Gemara says, if the father has enough money, kibbutz av is mishal av, lo mishal bein. The son is not mechuyev to spend money from his pocket. If the father has, the son is mechuyev to service the parents. The son is mechuyev to service the parents, even it means that he has to take off a day from work. They're going to dock him from pay. So in that case, it is mishal bein, but it's not that the bein is laying out money. The bein is forfeiting. The bein has to take care of the kibbutz av. He has to forfeit the salary that he would have gotten that day. So a little bit it is Michel Bain, but it's a difference. He's not getting a salary. They're ducking him from the pay. He's not paying for the kibbutz av. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the second reason. Since Kibirabin Shalab Alo Mishal Bein, the son is not muchiv to spend money, he's certainly not muchiv to suffer a broken heart. He fell in love with this girl and wants to marry this girl. So the parents tell him, no, we don't want you to marry that girl. So he's not muchiv, that's Mishal Bein. He's not muchiv to have a broken heart. He's not laying out money over here, but he's going to be hurt. Emotionally, he's going to be hurt. So he's not muchiv to suffer that. Then the third explanation that the Vilna Gaon quotes is questionable, a machlokes. The Rishonim in the beginning of Yevamos have this. Kibirav only applies if the parents request of the children they should service the parents. Let's say the father tells me he wants me to become a doctor. I want to become a lawyer. I don't want to. They have no right to tell me what to do for a living. And they tell me they're going to call all the shots. They're going to tell me where I should live and how many children I should have and where I should send the children to school. I have a right to lead my own life. That's not kibbutz. Kibbutz is to service the parents. So whom I'm going to marry doesn't service the parents. Unless, let's say, the fellow's going to marry a Yiddish girl with a whole getup, or the reverse, going to marry a misnaget, and everybody dresses one way, and the daughter-in-law is going to dress differently, and it's going to be an embarrassment to the parents. So if it's taka going to be an embarrassment to the parents, so maybe there is a din of kibbutz. But usually when the parents are opposed to the shidduch, it doesn't reflect anything on the parents. It's just they're advising the child how to lead his life. So that's not included in kibbutz. So some achrenim say maybe it's not included in kibbutz, but it should be included in mora. Cholik al dvarav. If the father says something and the son disagrees publicly, cholik al dvarav, that's a violation of mora. So some say that strictly speaking, is not kibbutz. Kibbutz is only to offer service to the parents. But maybe this is mora. But the pashta says it's not kibbutz and it's not mora either. Yeah, the din of kibbutz aviyim is a mitzvah that even applies bisman hazeh, believe it or not, ben atar, it's in the aseres hadibros, and people act as if there never was such a mitzvah of kibbutz aviyim. We are all guilty of violation of this din. Yeah. So that's one of the dinim that was given kodem matan Torah was kibbutz aviyim. The Gemara points out because it says in Vayeshanan, kabbutz aviyim ha'samecha, what's another din that was given clearly, Kodem Matan Torah? Shabbos, because the mon came down, and the mon didn't come down. Melech HaMishkan came down on Friday, and the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. So that's why we see Beferis that the mitzvah of Shabbos was given before. The Gemara in Masech HaShabbos that has 24 prokim, so towards the end of Shabbos, and Perek... And Perek called Kisve, the Gemara has a din of Shalashudas. So the Shalashudas is in Lech Mishnah. So the Shalashudas Lech Mishnah is Zecha Lamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle of Mon, came down in the Midbar. And on Erev Shabbos, Lechem Mishnah came down a double portion. So Zecha Lamon, we have, we say Hamoitzi on Shabbos Yantav over Lech Mishnah. Yeah. The Vilna Gaon Paskins like the Rashbo, the Rashba and the Gemara and Kid. In Brachas interprets in the Gemara that when you have Lech HaMishnah, if you only cut one and you don't cut both of the challah, so the challah that you didn't cut is if it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzdarv to the Lech HaMishnah. You have to cut both challahs. Yeah. Most people don't have that practice, but many have that practice to be choshesh to the Vilna Gaon, who paskens like the Rashba and learning pshat in the Gemara. That the Batzah Kula Sheirusa, whenever he would cut Friday night in Shabbos morning, in Shabbos Shulis, he would cut both of the Lech HaMishnah. So Lech HaMishnah is Zecha Laman, and Shabbos Shulis is Zecha Laman. Where does it say anything about Shabbos Shulis? So there's a pasuk in today's Sedra, Hechlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Lashem Tzuhu, Basoda. So the word Hayom appears three times in the same pasuk. The Gemara suggests that maybe what it means is that they had to eat the mon and three meals on Shabbos, one meal on Friday night and two meals on Shabbos in the daytime, and that's the Shalosh Sudas that we have. On Yontif, the practice is based on the Rishami, there is no Shalosh Sudas, but there is Lech HaMishnah. That's a question. We assume the mon didn't come down, Beferish and the Gemara. Mon did not come down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. So why do we have Zecha Lamon on Yantav, you only have Halacha Mishnah, you don't make Shabbos Shudas, why not? Either you should have both or neither. It's a good question. And Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo on Erechaim, he quotes a question that was discussed by his Rabbeim. Why is it when you have Yantav Shechaliyas Erev Shabbos, you should need Lechem Mishulash, not just Lechem Mishnah, because three portions of Mon would come down. The portion for Erev Yantav, and then the portion for Yantav, and the portion for Shabbos. So why don't we make a real Zecha Lamon to have Lechem Mishulash? It's a good question. So here it's interesting, there in Perek in Kol Kisve, in Masechah Shabbos, the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam both say the same thing, Allah HaLamayisa, that the women are Rosh HaMechuyiv in Lecha Mishneh in Shalosh Sudos, despite the fact that it should have been a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, and women should have been exempt. Tosfos has a machlokes with Rashi and Brochus, where the mitzvah, the rule of mitzvah Shazman Grama, women are put, that does it only apply to mitzvahs Deraisa, does it even apply to mitzvahs Derabbanan? So Rashi holds that the rule only applies to mitzvahs deraisa. The pashtus is that the lecha mishnah and the shalosh shudas is not a din deraisa. Some rishonim say shalosh shudas is deraisa. The pashtus is not so. This is only an asmachta hayom echlu hayom kishabas hayom l'Hashem. Pashtus says that it's only midirabbanim. So Tosfos holds that even on mitzvahs derabbanim, if the mitzvah says it has one grama, the women are exempt unless let's say mikra megillah. Adlokas Neres Chanukah or Heseba or Abrakosis, because these four mitzvahs midrabbanan are for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa. So then you mechayv the women because afen hay biosanes. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both say we don't have this in Tosfos. The Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and he disagrees. So Rabbeinu Tam says he thinks that women are just as mechuyev as men in Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas because afen hay biosanes. The ness of the mon was relevant for the women, the same as relevant for the men. So the women are machuyev, afen haides hanes, and lecha mishnah, shalosh shudas. And the Ran says he thinks the Rabbeinu Tam is right, but he has a different reason. He doesn't think because afen haides hanes. He thinks the reason why, because zoch v'shama b'di b'recha nemru, ma'shein ha'pe yichol l'adab v'lo ho'izen yichol l'shmaya. So Zoch v'Shama b'di b'recha nemar means that it's one, the Ran seems to have understood, it's one Kedusha Sayyam that's mechayiv in all of these mitzvahs. So since the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos is relevant for the women with respect to Shomar, because Shomar is a lois essay, and lois essay shaz man gram and women are mechayiv. So since the Kedusha Sayyam is relevant for the women, so it's all the way, so it's mechayiv. And Kiddush, women are just as mechayved as men in Kiddush, even though Kiddush is as magrama, and whatever else the Kedusha Sayyam is mechayv. So the Kedusha Sayyam in the Rabbanon is mechayv and Shalosh Shudas and Lecha Mishnah. So it's included in the din of Zoch v'Shama b'Dibrecha Nemro, Mishayeshna b'Shama, Yeshna b'Zoch. So bottom line, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both said the same thing, but they gave two different reasons why. So Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, who lived around 100 years ago, lived in Galicia, where they had a lot of Hasidim in Galicia. By the Hasidim, it's a very common practice that the women are still in the kitchen when the husband is saying Hamoitzi on the Lecha Mishnah. And the women, when they come into the dining room, they say Hamoitzi on a slice of challah. They don't have Lecha Mishnah. And it's a common practice that the husbands are makbet to have Shalosh Shudas. They go to the Rebbe's Tish, or they have Shalosh Shudas at home, and the women are not makbet to have Shalosh Shudas. So the question is why? Rabbi Shlomo Kluger says, because he gives you the explanation in a tshuva. So he says, because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree with the Ran, and the Ran doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. So each one shut down the other one, shut down the other one's explanation. So he left with nothing. The Mele, Shalosh Shudas and Lecha Mishnah remains a mitzvah sesters as Mangrama, and the women are not mechuyev. So Rabbi Chacham Avadya asked, what did he waved the magic wand and he made the mitzvah disappear? But he says the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam just say exactly the same thing. They say the women, bottom line, they say the same. The women are mechuyev and lecha mishnah and shalosh shudas. They just argue what's the reason why. So because each one doesn't hold from the other one's reason, so the whole din falls apart. How can it be? But they both said the same thing. So that's not right. So more correct is that the women really should be careful about lecha mishnah. The husband should be careful to wait till the wife sits down by the table, till he says hamoitzi. So you moitzi everybody with the lecha mishnah. Yeah, what exactly is the machlekes over here? What they say, Afen hai b'yosa nes. It's interesting. What's machlekes? What they say, Zocha b'shamar. So it's interesting. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the last tshuva in Chelek Arachayim. It's not in the order. All the other tshuvas are in order. This one was a hashmata, apparently. So they asked him a question, why aren't we obligating women to put on tefillin? Because Afen hai b'yosa nes. Because it says in the parasha of tefillin that the one of the reasons for the mitzvah sulam, we should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, because in the parasha of tefillin it says about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then in the tefillah that we say Yiratzon, the tefillah you say before you put on the tefillin, so we mentioned that also, that we want to recall, we want to bring back to mind the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if it's Zecher Lenes, why don't you say Afen Hai B'Yosan Nes? So the Chasam Sofer gives an answer. And Rav Soloveitchik used to say over this answer in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he said the same answer to Chasam Sofer, but he polished it up a little bit and he presented it even a little sharper than what the Chasam Sofer said. So the way Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said it over, if you look in the Chasam Sofer, it's exactly the same thing, but he said it over sharper. So he said there are two different inyanim, there's Zecher Lenes and there's Pesumei Nisim. So tefillin, when you see a Jew wearing tefillin, is that the first thing that comes to mind? Yetzias Mitzrayim? No. If you'll open up the Batim and you'll open up the Parshias, you see that it says there about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that's not the first thing that comes to mind. So that's only Zecher Lenes. When you have Haseba and Arbekoses on Pesach night, that's for the sake of Pesumei Nisa. So we recite the whole Haggadah in conjunction with the Arbekoses and the Haseba. So you recite the whole Haggadah, so there's Pesumei Nisa. On Chanukah, when you light the Neres Chanukah, you say, Haneres Halalu Kodeshem, Halalu Shamashmahem. We tell over part of the story there. And Rav Soloveitchik used to think, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from Masechet Sofrim. You should say Haneres Halalu. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the reciting of Haneres Halalu is Lihikuva. And he introduced the practice in his Maimonides, in the yeshiva where he used to have a minyan every day. So he used to practice, he introduced the practice that when they light Neres Chanukah in between Mincha and Ma'ariv every day on Chanukah, the whole tzibur should say HaNeres Halalu, because we want to have, everybody should be, I'd say that it's a minig, the real din of Hadlok and Neres Chanukah is everybody's madlik mebeso at home. But the minig has it that you're madlik mebeisak neses. So if you want to be madlik, in order to accomplish Pesumei Nisa, they have to say Haneres Halalu. He thought that it's likuva. So he introduced the practice. All the people in the shul should recite Haneres Halalu together. And the same is on Purim. When you read the Megillah, women are mukhevim avhen abiyos hanes. You read the Megillah, you tell over the whole story. When you put on tefillin, you don't tell over any story. When a goy sees a Jew wearing tefillin, he doesn't hear him say anything. He's not saying anything. It's not like Mikra Megillah. It's not like Haneres Halalu. It's not like CPTS Mitzrayim Haggadah. You're not explaining what. So the maximum you can say is that it's Zecher Lenes, not Pesumei Nisa. But that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said. That's what it says in the Chasam Sofer's Tshuva as well. The only time you say, Afen Hai B'Yosa Nes, that women are obligated, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama, that's if the nature of the mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa. But it was only Zecher Lenes, and they're not mechuyev. And how can you tell when any given mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa or Zecher Lenes? So Moshe Soloveitchik said, do you say the bracha Shos HaNisim? Shos HaNisim is only recited in connection with a mitzvah that's Lefarsemus HaNes. I on Pesach night, you have Haseba and Arbekoses. We don't say a bracha Shos HaNisim. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, some Rishonim have this beferish and their commentaries on the Haggadah, that on Leil Pesach, he said the bracha that's the equivalent of Shos HaNisim. That takes the place of the bracha Shos HaNisim. There's no need to say the bracha twice. So since he says Sheg Yolano, so you yotze the bracha Shos HaNisim. So that perhaps is why the Ran disagrees with the Rabbein Tam. By Shalashudas and Lecha Mishnah, it's a dead giveaway that this is, it's a Zecher Lenes of the moment. You can't really say there's Pesumei Nisa. We don't tell any story. It's not like Mikra Megillah or the CPTS Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, or Haneres Halalu. You say something. Here you don't say anything. So maybe true, the Lecha Mishnah and the Shalosh Sudas is Zecher Laman, but it could be it's not Pesumi Nisus. And maybe that's why the Ran disagrees with the Rabbein Tam. He doesn't like the Rabbein Tam's explanation. Yeah, what's the room to disagree? Why the Shlomo Kluge was right? The Ran disagrees with the Rabbein Tam. Rabbein Tam disagrees with the Ran. What's the room to disagree with the Ran? The Ran says, it's one Kedusha Sayyim. So Rab Soloveitchik pointed out when we learned Yevamos. The Gemara points out there in the beginning of Yevamos that we had it just the other day in Psochim and Ardaf on Chav Zayin, where is it? Chav Chesamabes, that we only darshan smuchim and Mishneh Torah, and the rest of the Chumashim, Bereshit Tu Bamid, but we don't darshan smuchim. The rest of the Chumash is darshan a hekesh. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's a hekesh. And in Mishnah Torah, Chumash Dvarim, even if you have two dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, that's smuchim, so you treat that also like a hekesh. So Zachar v'shamah b'dibrecha nemru, so I treat that also like a hekesh. Kol she'esh l'mishamah, yesh l'mizachah. So since shamah is a loisaseh, even though it's a loisaseh shazman grama, but all Lo says the women are mechuyev, so therefore the women are mechuyev in Shammah, so they were mechuyev in Zachar as well. So the Gemara there in the beginning of Yevamos points out that there are two psukim and chumash dvarim that are next to each other, namely the mitzvah of shatnas, the isser of shatnas, and the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Gemara says, what's the significance of the smuchim? Why are they one next to the other? So the Gemara says, to tell you the din, says this is the mocker for kol haTorah kula, that when you have a beged shel pishton, the garment is made from linen, and the tcheles has to be made from tzemer. The lovan can be the same material as the garment. The garment is pishtim, linen, so the strings can be linen strings. But the chut shel tcheles, the chutim of tcheles, have to be davke tzemer. So when you tie tcheles onto a beged shel pishtim, by definition, it's going to be shatnas. So are you allowed to do that? So the psukim are written one next to the other to teach you that eseh dechel eseh, that if you have tzitzis with tcheles in it, and the beged is pishtim, and the chut has to be tzemer dyed with the dye from the chilosin. So then we say, eseh dechel eseh, from here we derive to kol haTorah kula, that there is a din of eseh dechel eseh. So the Tosfos Yishonim, printed on the side of the page in Yevamos, and tiny letters, maybe daf gimel or daf dalet or something, in the very beginning of the Masechta, is bothered with a kasha. Just like you say, zachar v'shamar, is treated like a hekesh, and we say kol she'eshtem b'shamar, yeshtem b'zachar. So the women are obligated to say kiddush, despite the fact the kiddush should have been a mitzvah seser shemagrama. Women should have been potter, but I say kol she'eshtem b'shamar, yeshtem b'zachar. So here in chumash dvarim darshan smuchim, they treat the smuchim as if it would be a hekesh. So why don't you say kol she'eshtem b'baal til b'shatnes, yeshno b'mitzvah tzitzis? The Gemara says there is a smuchim over here. You darshan that there's a connection between tzitzis and shatnas. What's the connection? Eseh dechel eseh. So why don't you darshan another thing called sheeshna v'bal til b'shatnas, yeshna v'kum levosh tzitzis. So I should say women, just like they're prohibited from wearing shatnas, because that's a loiseh. So women should be chayv in tzitzis. Nobody holds like that. The women are not chayv in tzitzis because it's a zman grama. And even though the women volunteered to observe all the other mitzvahs, as a zman grama, they volunteered to shake a lulav and to listen to tkiyas and to say Sfiras HaEmah with a brach and to sit in sukkah. But the Ramosh quotes that the women, the practice of the women, do not volunteer not to wear tefillin, not to wear tzitzis. So why don't you say women are mechuyev and atur to wear tzitzis? Kol sheyeshno bebal til b'shatnas, yeshno bekum levosh tzitzis. So the Tosfos Yishonim asked that question. So he says kol sheyeshno b'shamah, yeshno b'zachar only makes sense because it's one Kedushas Hayayim. Of Shabbos is Mechayev both. The Kedushas Hayayim is Mechayev Isa Malocha. The Kedushas Hayayim is Mechayev Kiddush. So since women are Mechayev in the Isa Malocha, because that's a Loisesesh as Mangrama, so therefore the women are also Mechayev in the Mitzvah Sesesh of Kiddush, because it's one Kedushas Hayayim that's Mechayev everything. but by wearing tzitzis and not wearing shatnas, they have nothing to do with each other. They have nothing in common. You don't just say kol she'esh nemizeh yesh nemizeh. So since it's not nothing in common, so that's l'chorid, that biur that the Tosfos Rishonim seems to be giving, that it's one kedusha sayam that ases b'malach, and that's mechayiv and kiddush. That sounds like the Ran. The Ran says that the correct reason why women are mechuyev, in shalashudas and lecha mishnah, because there's one kedusha sayam that's mechayiv everything, and since the women, the Kedusha Sayyam is relevant to the women vis-a-vis the Issa Malacha, therefore it's relevant also not only with respect to Kiddush, it's relevant with respect to the Mitzvah Sesam and the Rabbanon, of the Shalosh Shudas and the Lech Mishnah as well. The Rabbi Tam apparently doesn't hold like that. Why not? Rabbi Tam maybe holds differently. See, here there's a Shaila that goes as follows. During this man of Tosefes Shabbos, a person, there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh. So Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh, the Gemara has a pasuk by Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, if a person does malacha, there's an Issa Koris. If a person does malacha or eats, there's Koris. If a person, there's a din of Tosef, Yom Kippurim. If a person eats or does malacha during this month of Tosef, is Yom Kippurim, there's a din deraisa, there's an Isser, but there's no Koris. But there's no Koris. So the question is, there is a concept of Tosefes Shabbos with respect to Issa Malacha. The Gemara has a shaila, can you say Kiddush or not? So the Gemara in Brachas, so the Gemara says, yes, Rav Tzolish al Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos, Rav Davind is Mekabel Shabbos early, and he said Kiddush. And if he said Kiddush, he started the meal also. So can he finish the meal also? Can he be out to the whole meal during this month of Tosefes Shabbos? So the Taz, on Shulchan Aruch quotes, so there's two opinions in Tosfos, the beginning of Perek Arvei Psochim, the last Perek and Psochim. Tosfos shows from the Mishnah that you can't be yoked. Tosfos has this chiddush, not everybody agrees with Tosfos. On Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted. Tosfos shows from the Mishnah that you can't be yotze Korban Pesach during this man of Tosefes Yontif. You can't be yotze Matzah during this man of Tosefes. But it says, V'ochlo sabasa balayla hazeh. It says, Ba'erev tochle matzah. So the matzah and the Korban Pesach have to be eaten balayla. Ba'erev and balayla. Even if you're going to be Moisim, Mechol al HaKodesh, fine, but it's not superior to tomorrow morning. It's also Yantav. The first day Pesach is also Yantav. But the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah can't be fulfilled during the daytime of the first day Pesach. It has to be Dafka balayla. So even if you're Mekabel Kedushas Hayom early, you can't be out to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach or matzah during this man of Tosefet. So what about Suda Shabbos V'yontif? Is that also a din? You can't be yotzer during this man of Tosefet? There's two opinions in Tosefet. So what's the Shaila? Shaila is when you have a din, Masif and Mechol al HaKodesh. So you're not allowed to do malacha during this man of Tosefet, but there's no Koris. And if it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat during this man of Tosefet, but again, there's no Koris. So it doesn't mean to say that all of the mitzvahs hayom anoyig during this month of Tosefes, yom mekabel kedushas hayom b'mukdam, yom mekabel Tosefes. So all the dinim of Shabbos, all the dinim of Yom Tov Achal, just that there's no koris. Or they say no, maybe it's only you can say kiddush. The Gemara says Rav Tzolish al Shabbos be'er Shabbos, he was mekabel Shabbos early, and he said kiddush. Ain't kiddush al makom sudi, had to start the meal, but you can't be yotze the meal during this month of Tosefes. The other mitzvahs are not noig during this month of Tosefes. So why should Kiddush be different? So maybe that's Zoch B'Shamer B'Dibrech Nemru. Maybe that tells me not that all the mitzvahs Hayom is one package deal. Either the Kedushas Hayom is relevant for you or it's not. That's how the Tosfos Rishonim seems to have understood there in the beginning of Yevamos. Maybe it's not the Pshat. Maybe the Pshat is that Kiddush is like the Birchas HaMitzvah on the Shvisa Mimalacha. So since there's an institution of Masif Mechol al HaKodesh vis-a-vis Malacha, so that's why Rav Tzolish al Shabbos Be'er Shabbos, so he was able to say Kiddush also, because during this month of Tosefes, the Issa Malacha is Noyig. That's the whole relevance of Tosefes for Issa Malacha. And Kiddush is the Bichas HaMitzvah of the Issa Malacha. But maybe the other mitzvahs are Yom HaNatlang. Maybe it can't be Yotze Shalosh Shudas. Maybe it can't be Yotze the other mitzvah Sida. So it could be that that's the machlekes. It's a double. It could be Rab Shlomo Kluger is right. Could be it's a double machlekes between the Iran and Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam holds Afin Hai B'Esanes applies to Shalashudas and Lecha Mishnah. It could be the Iran disagrees. Could be that it shouldn't apply because it's only Zechele Mon. It's not Pisumi Nisa. It's not Pisumi Nisa. It's only Zechele Nes. So Zechele Nes, you don't apply Afin Hai B'Esanes. It could be that Rabbi Natam disagrees with what the Iran said. The Iran understood Zoch V'Shamer B'di Brecha Nemru. It's one Kedusha Soyem, that's Machayev everything. And if by women the Kedusha Soyem is relevant, it's Machayev them and Isim Aloche, then it's Machayev them and Kiddush and Shalosh Shudas and Lech Mishnah as well. And it could be the Rabbi Natam holds, no, Zoch V'Shamer B'di Brecha Nemru is a very restricted Hekesh. All it means is that Kiddush is the Brichas HaMitzvah. Kiddush is connected with Isa Malacha. But it does mean that all the mitzvahs hayayim is in one big package deal. Either you do have it or you don't have it. So it could be that this is possibly the Dalma Achleikas between the Ran and the Rabbi Natan. Rav Soloveitchik gave a Yortzeit Rosh on this topic once. He quoted the Tshuva of the Netziv. A woman benchlicht early on Erev Yontev. She was Mekabel Yontev early. And after she benched licht, and she was makabel isa malocha and kedusha sayem av yantiv, she received a telegram before the shkia that a relative of hers died, and she has to observe shiva. So he has a safek on yantiv there's a chiyav simcha, and because of the chiyav simcha, so you're not allowed to observe avelus. So if a person finds out on yantiv that a relative died, he has to begin shiva after yantiv is over. But if the person, so this woman got a telegram, so she took off her shoes. She was already Mekabel Yantav, but she took off her shoes to be Noeg Avelis after she was already Mekabel Kedushas Hayam of Yantav. Because the din is that if the Oval began Shiva a little bit before Yantav, so comes Yantav and cancels the rest of the Shiva. So the question was whether she was that proper or not. When she was Mekabel Kedushas Hayam Av Yontif, is Tosefes Yontif only Chal Benegeir to Issa Meloche and for Kiddush, because Kiddush and Issa Meloche are connected, or is it Chal Benegeir to all the Dinim? So that seems to be the Machlokes Deran and Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam holds that all the Dinim are Chal during, all the Dinim are interconnected. And the Rabbi Natam perhaps holds not only Zohar B'Shama means that there's a connection between Kiddush and Issa Meloche. It does mean that so if you're Moshe Michal Ala Kiddush, and the Gemara says you can say Kiddush, yeah, because Kiddush is connected with Isa Malacha. But it could be that the other mitzvahs Hayam don't begin from Tosefes. Very good. So these are two of the mitzvahs that were given. Koyde Matan Torah in this week says Shom Sam Lachok HaMishpat. The Gemara says Dinim were given. But the Gemara says Shabbos was given. The Psukim say Shabbos was given, and Kibbut Aviyim was given. And according to the Mechilta, Paraduma was given. Unless you assume that it's a misprint, unless you assume that it's a mistake. Okay, everyone should be healthy. Tomorrow morning, B'li Ned at 10:30, whoever is interested will go the rest of the Parsha. There's a lot more in the Parsha. Okay, next week on Sunday, we will continue. We left off very important Gemara. We left off in the middle of the Gemara.